From the look in her eyes, Cersei was prepared to castrate Varys all over again. "Might this be some ruse?" asked Littlefinger. "If so, it is a ruse of surpassing cleverness," said Varys. "It has certainly hoodwinked me." Tyrion had heard enough. "Joff will be so disappointed," he said. "He was saving such a nice spike for Renly's head. But whoever did the deed, we must assume that Stannis was behind it. The gain is clearly his." He did not like the news. He had counted on the brothers Baratheon decimating each other in bloody battle. He could feel his elbow throbbing where the Morning Star had laid it open. It did that sometimes in the damp. He squeezed it uselessly in his hand and asked, "What of Renly's host?" "The greater part of his foot remains at Bitterbridge." Varys abandoned the brazier to take his seat at the table. "Most of the lords who rode with Lord Renly at Storm's End have gone over banner and blade to Stannis with all their chivalry." "Led by the Florence, I'll wager," said Littlefinger. Varys gave him a simpering smile. "You would win, my lord. Lord Aelstow was indeed the first to bend the knee. Many others followed." "Many," Tyrion said pointedly. "But not all?" "Not all," agreed the eunuch. "Not Loras Tyrell, nor Randall Tarly, nor Mathys Rowan. And Storm's End itself has not yielded. Sir Courtney Penrose holds the castle in Renly's name, and will not believe his liege is dead. He demands to see the mortal remains before he opens his gates. But it seems that Renly's corpse has unaccountably vanished. Carried away, most likely. A fifth of Renly's knights departed with Sir Loras rather than bend the knee to Stannis. It said the Knight of Flowers went mad when he saw his king's body and slew three of Renly's guards in his wrath, among them Eamon Kye and Robert Royce.